From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello, listener. How are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news for the headlines. Health Ministry pays 7.1 trillion rupiah claims to hospitals handling COVID-19. Job creation law support economic recovery in Indonesia, World Bank said. Now the news in details. The Ministry of Health has paid claims amounting to 7.1 trillion rupiah to COVID-19 handling hospital derived from the total of 21 trillion rupiah budgeted by the government. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Acting Director General of Health Services of the Ministry of Health, Abdul Qadir, noted during an online press conference in Jakarta on Friday that the claims channeled were sourced from the Ministry of Health's Budget Implementation List, or DIPA, amounting to 6.2 trillion rupiah, and from the Ready to Use Fund, or DP, of the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, worth 950 billion rupiah. Meanwhile, claims filed by some 1,900 hospitals as of October 15, 2020, have totaled 12 trillion rupiah. Qadir explained it means 4 trillion rupiah is yet in the verification process, and this certainly takes the time. The omnibus law on job creation approved by the House of Representatives can potentially support Indonesia in its economic recovery from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, according to an official statement from the World Bank received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, that this law can support resilience economic recovery and long-term growth in Indonesia. Economic recovery can be achieved through the job creation law, since the regulation eliminates major restrictions on investment, thereby indicating Indonesians' openness for business. This can indubitably help attract investors, create jobs, and help Indonesia in fighting poverty. According to the World Bank, the omnibus law and job creation is a major reform endeavor to make Indonesia more competitive and support the country's long-term aspiration of becoming a prosperous society. The Jakarta Environment Office has provided 36,000 recyclable bags to the Jakarta Recycle Center, which is focusing on processing household waste. Head of the Jakarta Environment Office, Andono Wari, in a statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday, stated that as citizen participation on the program has been found to be erratic, the office has decided to establish a collaboration with various stakeholders to help develop the recycling center and ensure active participation from citizens in the collection and sorting of waste for recycling. The Jakarta's government saw the opportunity for collaboration between governmental bodies and the private sector to help provide assistance in sorting waste for residents, from social to technical aspects. Indonesia's economic recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic would not solely rely on fiscal and monetary policies, but also other instruments, including the omnibus law on job creation. It was said by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati during the CNPC debate on global economy, held virtually on early Friday, as reported by Antara News Agency. She also said in this time of crisis, the President and House of Representatives have approved the omnibus law that will facilitate investment climate improvement in Indonesia to create jobs. The minister highlighted that the omnibus law on job creation will ease the government's transition from fiscal deficit and monetary policy as instrument for economic recovery to structural transformation. Minister Sri Mulyani also stressed on the need of the international community support to bring about economic recovery, particularly in poor nations, to help them survive the crisis and recover. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The European Union should renegotiate a €1 billion, a $1.17 billion contract it sealed last week with Gilead for a six-month supply of the COVID-19 drug Remdesivir after it showed poor results in a large trial, experts said on Friday. As reported by Reuters.com, in a blow to one of the few drugs being used to treat people with the COVID-19, the solidarity trial conducted by the World Health Organization showed on Friday that Remdesivir appeared to have little or no effect on mortality or length of hospital stays among patients with the respiratory disease. The trial results were disclosed a week after the European Union Executive Commission announced its largest contract to date with Gilead for the supply of 500,000 courses of the antiviral drug at a price of €2,070 per treatment, which Gilead said was the standard for wealthy nations. U.S. President Donald Trump and the Democratic challenger Joe Biden plan to hit the campaign trail again on Friday with visits to three battleground states after displaying their sharply contrasting styles in dueling televised town halls. As reported by Reuters.com, Trump lacks in opinion polls and latest figures from his campaign show he is also behind in fundraising in the final weeks before the November 3rd election. Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee raise some $247.8 million in September. His campaign manager said on Twitter, well behind the $383 million hole of Biden and the Democratic Party. Japan is to release treated radioactive water from the destroyed Fukushima nuclear plant into the sea. As quoted by BBC.com October 16, it followed years of debate over how to dispose of the liquid, which include water used to cool the power station hit by a massive tsunami in 2011. Environmental and fishing groups opposed the idea, but many scientists says the risk it would pose is low. The government says no final decision has been made. According to the Japanese media outlet, including national dailies, the Nikkei and the Yomiuri Shimbun, the release of more than a million tons of water, which has been filtered to reduce radioactivity, would start in 2022 at the earliest. The water would be diluted inside the plant before release so it is 40 times less concentrated, Yomiuri Shimbun said, with the whole process taking 30 years. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. We start the first news comes from Bandung, West Java. Regional Secretary of West Java Province Setiawan Wang Satmaja last Wednesday said the West Java Provincial Government is currently encouraging the cultivation of porang tabus as part of efforts to strengthen the agricultural sector amid the COVID-19 pandemic. According to him, porang is now a promising commodity. Not only has the opportunity to become an export commodity, but porang also has a high selling value. Porang can be used as a raw material for flour, cosmetics and water purification. According to Setiawan, agriculture is one of the sectors that can survive the COVID-19 pandemic. When all sectors are hit by the pandemic, agriculture is experiencing growth. Next news comes from Deli Serdang, North Sumatra. The North Sumatra Natural Resources Conservation Center allowed the Sibolangit Nature Tourism Park area in Deli Serdang Regency to reopen for natural tourism. Head of the Conservation Center, Hotmauli Sianturi, in her remarks last Wednesday said that activities that can be carried out at Sibolangit Nature Tourism Park area are enjoying nature, environmental conservation education, education on wildlife conservation, watching hornbills and forest healing. To minimize the spread of COVID-19, reservation for Sipulangit Nature Tourism Park entrance ticket are made by booking online. In addition, visitors are required to comply with the health protocols while in Sipulangit area, including wearing a mask, washing hands in the place provided, checking body temperature, physical distancing or approximately 1.5 meters, and maintaining cleanliness. The latest news comes from Batam, Riau Island. The Batam Center International Port Manager ensures readiness to become one of the entry and exit points for Singapore-Indonesia according to the Travel Corridor Arrangement TCA between the two countries, which starts at the end of October 2020. Operation Manager of PT Sinergi Tarada, Manager of Batam Center International Port, Nika Astaga in Batam, Riau Island last Wednesday said that the port had implemented health protocols, such as maintaining distance between passengers, since January 2020. Although at that time there had not been any COVID-19 cases in Indonesia, the virus had caught the world's attention. Meanwhile, the Riau Island Provincial Government says that the Indonesia-Singapore Travel Corridor Arrangement TCA, which made Batam Center International Port an entry point, was an economic opportunity for the region. Listener, that was news from across the country. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from an event on October 17, 1947 on the Special Force Corps in Indonesian Air Force anniversary. On October 17, 1947, Dakota Carrier aircraft, which flew from Maguwo Airport, Yogyakarta, crossed the sky of Kalimantan. Dakota aircraft deployed 13 best soldiers of Indonesian Air Force over Waringin City. Their mission were to open radio transmission between region and center to prepare a dropping zone for the next jump and to help warriors in Kalimantan. More importantly, the mission was aimed at opening the eyes of the world that Kalimantan is part of the Republic of Indonesia. The drop made by 13 Indonesian Air Force soldiers marked the birth of the Indonesian Air Force Special Forces Combat Unit. Thus, October 17 was decided as the day of the Special Force Corps of Indonesian Air Force. Next event was in 1973 on the embargo of Arabic oil. On October 17, 1973, the Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, whose most country members are Arabic countries, began to impose an oil embargo on the United States of America, the United Kingdom, and other countries which sold oil to Israel. The embargo was conducted because the USA and UK were seen as providing massive military assistance for Israel in the war between Israel and Syria, as well as Egypt, that began on October 6. As a result, oil prices became higher and Western countries were in serious trouble due to the embargo, which was known as period of oil shock. In March 1974, the embargo was pulled out again after U.S. State Secretary Henry Kissinger succeeded in carrying out negotiation of a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Syria. The last event was in 1992 on the commemoration of the World Poverty Eradication Day. The commemoration of the World Poverty Eradication Day was recognized by the United Nations in 1992. The commemoration was held for the first time in Paris, France in 1987. At that time, 100,000 people gathered at Human Rights and Liberties Plaza in Trocadéro to honor the victims of hunger, poverty, violence and threats. They declared poverty is violence on human rights. Afterwards, the General Assembly of the United Nations declared on October 7 as World Poverty Eradication Day. International communities celebrate the commemoration in various ways. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang chi xin xin guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. Wo de kou zhao bao hu ni, yi de kou zhao bao hu wo.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Jelas miliki sesuatu, namun entah hati masih meragu. Tiap tak bersamamu tak kurasakan rindu. Mungkinkah kau benar untukku? Tak tahu apakah ku cinta atau ku hanya senang karena kau ada. Yang ku takutkan darah ini bukan asmara. Mungkinkah kau benar untukku? Bilakah memang benar engkau orangnya? Lalu mengapa hati masih bertanya? Mungkinkah kau terbenar untukku? Jujur ku masih tak menahu, apakah kau memang tercipta untukku? Bila hari-hariku masih indah tanpamu, mungkinkah kau benar untukku? Bilakah memang benar engkau orangnya? Oh, lalu mengapa hati masih bertanya? Mungkinkah kau terbenar untukku? Kau tak harus menunggu, semua tanyaku berlalu. Kini ku pun meragu, mungkinkah ku terbenar untukku? Bilakah memang benar
lalu mengapa
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today, entitling Indonesia's Trade Balance Surplus. The Central Statistics Agency recorded that Indonesia's trade balance in September 2020 had a surplus of $2.44 billion with an export value of $14.01 and an import of $11.57 billion. With this achievement, Indonesia has experienced a surplus for the fifth time this year since May 2020. Head of the agency, Suharyanto, when holding a virtual press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the surplus was bigger than that in August, also if compared to September the previous year, which had a deficit of $183.3 million. He explained Indonesia trade experienced a surplus with several countries in the ninth month of this year, including with the United States, India, and the Philippines. However, trade with several countries also experienced a deficit in that period, namely with China, Ukraine, and Brazil. Overall, Indonesia's trade balance from January to September 2020 experienced a surplus of $13.51 billion. This figure is much larger than the deficit in the same period last year. From the September surplus, Suharyanto concluded that export was starting to increase, industrial exports were also starting to move. Imports of raw materials and capital goods were also good. It is known that Indonesia's trade balance had a surplus since May this year. However, the surplus that occurred in September 2020 was the largest during the last 5 months. At the end of the press conference, Suharyanto invited all parties to work together to improve the Indonesian economy. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kuswawati. Thank you for listening.
Sejujurnya, oh, jangan pernah kau meragukan ketulusan hasrat cinta kita berdua. Cintai diriku seperti aku mencintaimu. cintaimu sepenuh jiwaku. Jangan pernah ada tersimpan prasangka.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to introduce you the Selat Ransang Beach, which is located in Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province. Selat Ransang Beach, located in East Siantan District, Anambas Islands, Riau Islands Province, seems to be hidden because it is flanked by small islands that are quite hilly. The Selat Ransang Beach is on 244 hectares island. The beach is not so wide, but its position is really surrounded by clear water that has gradation colors between green and bluish. Almost every corner of the Selat Ransang Beach can certainly be snorkeling and diving spots, which offer undersea amazing panoramas. Coral reef and marine biota at the beach have various kinds of species, and also the ecosystem is relatively well maintained. At Selat Ransang Beach, you can do diving, snorkeling, and fishing. At the beach, all places can become fishing areas. But if you want more something challenging, you can directly do fishing in the middle of the sea. To go there, you should go by boat and have enough fishing equipment. If you do not have the equipment, don't worry, because you can still enjoy the scenery of the beach or swimming in the shallow water of the beach. Without snorkeling equipment, you can see coral reefs and multicolored fish swimming at the bottom of the sea with naked eyes. It is really an amazing scenery which can fresh your eyes. Listener, the best time to visit Selat Ransang Beach is in April until October, because at that time the waves in the waters around the Selat Ransang Beach and Tarempa are friendly enough. The only way to Selat Ransang Beach is by using pompong or speedboat. There is no regular transportation which serves Tarempa Selat Ransang Beach's line. To rent pompong for one trip is around 300,000 rupiah until 400,000 rupiah. The trip takes around 3 hours. Listener, if you love marine tourism, please set your time to visit and have a vacation at Selat Ransang Beach. We guarantee that you will be satisfied. And if you visit Anambas Islands, you better explore the islands one by one by renting a boat or trekking to some islands. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Selat Ransang Beach in Riau Islands Province. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. See you next time.
of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. Stay at home, clean your hands, and follow your local health regulation.
Berikanlah dia untukku, jadikanlah cinta padaku. Meski dirinya belum bisa melupakan, melupakan kekasih yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli, yang penting dia mulai tahu. Sungguh aku mengharapkan cintanya.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about Indonesian student and her team offer convenience for health services to face COVID-19. Indonesian youths often get achievements at world international competitions. One of them is Adriana Viola Miranda, who participated in the MIT COVID-19 competition. This 2016 University of Indonesia Medical Faculty, or FKUI student, who joined a team named Amigo, won an international competition entitled MIT COVID-19 Challenge Latin America versus COVID-19 in the category of Track B, New Ways to Deliver Care in a COVID-19. Through this competition, Adriana and the team offer solutions in the form of health services using the WhatsApp-based or SMS-based telemedicine system for those who do not have access to the internet in a bid to provide adequate health services for vulnerable populations with chronic conditions. The competition, organized by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the United States, took place via online on June 19th until 21st, 2020. What is unique is that Adriana is the only student from Indonesia in the Amigo team, whose members come from various countries, namely Chile, Brazil, Argentina, Tanka, and the United States. The team members also have diverse professional backgrounds, ranging from doctors, public health experts, to biotechnology experts. Only Adriana in this team is still a medical student. In the future, Amigo will be developed to be able to sort out the needs of patients based on symptoms. At present, the Amigo team is in the process of working together for a pilot study with a hospital in Chile. Broadly speaking, the challenge faced by Adriana and her friends on Track B was to find a method of healthcare during COVID-19 that can ensure patient safety. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni for today. See you next time.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu. Maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Mawar Merah to be sung by Indonesian legend singer Hetty Koes Endang. The keroncong song Mawar Merah was composed by Marjo Kahar. It tells about a woman who protects a red rose which is given by her lover. Besides being beautiful to look at, the red rose is also a symbol of love and affection. Even though it has withered, the red rose is still kept as a substitute for the presence of the lover. Like other keroncong songs in general, this one is slow tempo. Here is Hetty Koes Endang with the keroncong song entitled Mawar Merah. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19 di bakoikum fil manazil.
Disamen gegen corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis. Was je handen met zeep, draag je een masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the
padamu, sekali lagi padamu, ku bawakan rindu yang kau pesan putu. Aku di sini untukmu, sekali lagi untukmu, percayalah lagi kau gundah. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Hidup adalah tentangmu, selalu saja tentangmu. Sepertinya kau adalah candu bagiku. Kau buat aku tak mampu, selalu saja tak mampu menahan perasaanku atas dirimu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku. Getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Sungguh kasmaran aku kepadamu. Pun aku merasakan getaranmu, mencintaiku seperti ku mencintaimu. Jamu. kesabaranku kepadamu.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.